Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The first reading is from John chapter 14, verses 8 through 17 and 25 through 26. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you all this time? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I don't speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I have spoken these things to you while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you." The second reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 and 12 through 21. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? Then how can each of us hear them speaking in our native language?" They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Over the course of the last 3 years, I can describe it with an ancient quote that's often attributed to Heraclitus. that is, the only thing constant in life is change. Do we feel like the last 3 years or so have been constant? If we buy into that quote, then yes. I feel like everything is changing. I never in 1,000 years would have imagined that I would become a proficient video editor. But I had to because we had to learn how to do church in a different way. I never in 1,000 years would have understood the intricacies of live stream multicam video. But I had to learn a new thing. Now, I did imagine, particularly when I was a kid watching the Jetsons on TV or watching episodes of Star Trek, I did imagine what it would look like to be in conversations with a bunch of people by video. But I didn't imagine it like this. And I certainly didn't imagine serving on a leadership team on how to develop a United Methodist annual conference of 1,500 plus people entirely through cameras and screens, or new to this year, hybrid, with some people in person and some people through cameras and screens. I can't get my head around the amount of change that has taken place in the last 3 years. And friends, this is just vocationally. My personal life is a whole other ballgame. As I have experienced the beauty of two children continuing to grow and learn about themselves. I want you to know neither of them are here today. Cam had grad night last night. I don't understand how he's old enough to have grad night. And Zach is in a soccer tournament today. They won both games by shutout yesterday. They won the semifinal today in penalty kicks. And the finals this afternoon. Yes, after church, I'm going to his final. But also the change that comes with the heartbreak of experiencing divorce. The last 3 years, and I'm not just talking about me, friends. Is it safe to say that we have all had to learn new ways to live in the world? Everything is different. Everything is changing. And for me, I don't know if it is for you, but for me, that's hard. For me, that's hard, and I'm somebody who likes change. I'm somebody who likes to step into change, and I like to do it boldly. Because I'm also inspired by the text that we read from Revelation. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I believe that God is constantly doing a new thing. Now that's hard because I would call myself a classical theologian in that God does not change. God's essence does not change. But that does not mean that God does not consistently do new things. Even in the story of Pentecost, when we read from Acts 2, the very first verse, when Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. That very first sentence tells us that Pentecost is already an established thing. Yes, we like to think about Pentecost as something that changed, something that's different, something that's distinctly Christian, and that is not a safe assumption. Pentecost begins as a Jewish tradition, the festival of weeks that celebrates 50 days after the Passover. You may wonder in the text, as Nick read it, by the way, Nick, there are two things that sound better in my mind. There's probably more than two, but there are particular things that sound better directly from the English. And one is sacred text, and the other is any soccer instruction. I heard a coach just yesterday coaching a group of young girls, and the guy was English, and he just sounded like he had more authority. And when you read from our sacred text today, it just sounded so wonderful. So thank you for your gift. The Festival of Weeks is that sense, or that celebration, that feast, that's 50 days after Passover. When we think about Pentecost and we think about it as distinctly Christian, yes, how we think about the arrival of the Holy Spirit must be seen in that way, and it is not like there's never been Pentecost before. It is an illustration that God did a new thing. In Pentecost, with a long tradition, God does a new thing. The way we celebrate Pentecost today is a little different, surely, than the disciples who were huddled in a room, terrified because they were alone. As I understand it, we're going to have birthday cake on the olive tree patio. But as I look at Acts 2, I don't see anything about birthday cake. Because we're doing it in a new way, and I think that's a good thing. The incredible anthem that we heard from the choir was not sung in that room on that Pentecost celebration. Places of worship didn't look like this, and there certainly weren't screens in the room. But I believe that God constantly does a new thing. But my friends, we don't always adjust to change well, do we? We wrestle with change. Well, what do you mean you want to do this in this different way? That's not the way we've always done it. I would suggest that that phrase is the bane of every church leader. That's not the way we've always done it. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not opposed to doing things the way they've always been done if there's good reason for it. But if the only reason is because that's the way we've always done it, then maybe we need to examine it. Maybe we need to see if that really is the best way to do a thing. Well, clearly, we're not alone. Because in the story of Pentecost, as Nick read from Acts 2, people still wrestle with change there. The disciples experience God's Holy Spirit, described as tongues of flame, the sound like a violent wind. The same word, by the way, for spirit can also be translated as breath, especially if you go back to the Hebrew, especially if you go back to the Old Testament. Ruach is the word. It's the same word that is breathed into the first humans. Spirit, breath, life. That's not the translation, that's how I hear it. Life, spirit, breath. And so when we hear about this wind, we might identify with breath, with air that gives us life. And the disciples experience that wind, that breath, that air, that spirit. And as they look around at each other, it's a little bit terrifying because the spirit lands on them as tongues of flame. And of course, because I like the color red and we celebrate the color red as Pentecost, I envision this kind of red flame. I don't know if that's really what it was. It doesn't tell us what color, but that's how I envision it. And they begin to speak. And they begin to speak in languages that aren't their own. And I don't even know if they realize it. Now, because it's a traditional Jewish feast, a traditional Jewish festival, there's a bunch of people in town from other areas who speak different languages. And what is it that they realize? That these disciples are speaking in my language. But some folks in that crowd, you know what they say, and this is my translation, that's not the way they've always done it. They must be drunk on new wine. That can't possibly be right because that's not the way we've always done it. But God's Spirit still breathes. God's Spirit still inspires. And part of the reason that we're going to have birthday cake today is because we understand that this moment of Pentecost, this presence of God's Spirit in a new way, inspires profound and unexpected and beautiful growth of the Christian tradition. It starts something new. Now, do you think those disciples wanted to start something new? No, they were sitting in a room with locked doors because Jesus had left and they didn't know what to do. And I bet you they were thinking, why can't we go back to what it was 50 days ago? And God's Spirit said, I'm doing a new thing. But new things are scary. New things are hard. Until we remember that the only thing that's constant is change, or the only thing that's constant is God continually does new things. I've had the privilege of serving in a number of beautiful congregations, and there are some folks, I'm not pointing any names, I'm not naming anybody, there are some folks who say the only right way to do church is to make sure you have a good organ. Until I remind those folks that there was a time when that was scandalous. If you look through music history in the church, there was a time when the organ was absolute anathema. In fact, if you had too many harmonies, it wasn't right for church. In fact, if you weren't singing in Latin, it wasn't right for church. So for us to say, well, the only right way to do church is with an organ, maybe God is doing a new thing. Now, I also want to bring some peace and some calm. Please don't hear me standing up here in my red stole and my red shoes saying that everything that's familiar, we're going to throw out and do a new thing. That's not what I'm trying to say. That's not my impetus, and I don't think that's the right thing to do. But I do think we can constantly step into the new thing that God places before us. And we're doing that already in some ways. With mounted cameras, so that persons who are online, whether they are trying to stay safe or traveling, can continue to participate in worship. We're going to experience Holy Communion today, and we're going to experience it in a little bit different way so that we can keep one another safe, and we're still going to experience Holy Communion. We've sung some familiar hymns, and we're going to sing one more that you don't know about yet. Because it's a song that takes a familiar hymn about God's breath and turns it into a Pentecost hymn about God's Spirit. It takes a familiar set of words and a familiar melody and makes it new. And so, of course, I brought my guitar. And I'm not going to play it on the organ. Partly because I don't know how to play it. Do you know the hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God? It's a beloved hymn, isn't it? I'm going to invite you to sing something with me. And we can consider this a bit of a closing, certainly a closing for this message today, but also a reminder that God continues to do new things. But that sometimes when God does a new thing, God builds it out of those traditions that we love so much. If you're a musician, you might know that Breathe on Me, Breath of God is in 3-4. We're going to do this in 4-4. If you're not a musician and that just sounds like Greek to you, that's okay, because we quoted a Greek guy earlier, so it's going to be all right. One more thing that I need to tell you about. There's going to be some familiar words, but there's going to be one section in the middle that's not familiar. The reason it's not familiar is because I wrote it and you haven't heard it yet. Good. All right. You'll be able to follow along. I'm confident in you. I believe in you. Breathe on me, breath of God. Here we go. Breathe on me, breath of God.
fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do.
That seemed pretty good so far. Here we go with verse 2.
Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure.
Here's where it changes up a little bit.
Holy Spirit, fall on me. Give me grace and set me free. Fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me.
Leave it on that slide, Emilio. We're going to do that chorus again. Here we go.
Holy Spirit, fall on me. Give me grace and set me free. Fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me.
Now we'll move to verse 3.
Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am only thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Give me grace and set me free. Fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breathe on me.
Last verse.
Breathe on me, breath of God. So shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Give me grace and set me free. Fill me with your love and power. Breathe on me, breathe on.
Breathe on me, breathe on me.
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 It is my hope that we can be inspired by what God can do and is doing already. God continually does new things. Will we look back? Or will we step boldly forward to where God calls us? Let us prayerfully hear God's call and follow. Amen. There is something, as we move into our time of response to the word, there is something I would like to ask you to do. This is something that I do every Sunday. I think that we should respond to our experience of worship. I would like to invite you to look at a tradition of yours. Maybe it's a family tradition. Maybe it's a church tradition. I would just invite you to examine that tradition. Do it sometime this week. Examine that tradition. Look at whether or not it's worth revisiting, doing it a new way. Maybe look for a way to celebrate that tradition in a way that breathes new life into it, where it might honor the tradition while experiencing something new at the same time. I would like to invite you to do that sometime this week.